You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
What do you do if you or someone you love suddenly experiences a big personality change or starts to display strange, unusual, uncontrollable behavior? Now, most of us would seek a psychologist for help, but you may be in need to go deeper, dig deeper, because these symptoms may be a sign of a very serious disease. Today's guest on Wellness for Life, we have Dr. Barbara Lipska, a leading neuroscientist in schizophrenia who actually descended into madness, losing herself and mind as quickly as her melanoma cancer was spreading to her brain. Sure enough, she had a miraculous healing within 8 weeks of her immunotherapy and is now here to talk about her maddening experience, her recovery, and her new book, The Neuroscientist Who Lost Her Mind. Wow, what a story to tell, Barbara. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
You bet. Yes, yes, yes. You know, what I'd love to know is what made you decide to write this book, The Neuroscientist Who Lost Her Mind, particularly because you're a neuroscientist who studied for years and years on mental issues, mental illnesses, and then you end up experiencing it yourself.
That's true. So when I was coming out of this madness period, I realized what I've been through, and it was unbelievable. I couldn't put my head around it, that I have experienced things that I only read about, and I didn't even realize that I was so ill. So this made me, I had this urge to write it down, first for myself to understand it better, and also for my family. And then it evolved to a book.
I think you're helping hundreds and thousands of people really connect to themselves and, you know, get more insight, especially from your experience. I understand that you had melanoma. Where was the original cancer?
Yes.
Where was it located?
It was behind my ear on my neck, 3 years before I experienced the symptoms that led my doctors to do brain scans. And it turned out that I had tumors in my brain. But first it appeared on my skin, as usually melanoma does. Not always,
right,
but usually.
Yeah, the reason why I was asking was because, you know, obviously it spread quickly to the brain, and I wanted to know, like, what was the distance, you know? Was it close to the head? Was it on your arm? I just was curious about that.
It was on my head.
It was on the head.
It was on
and
my
then,
head.
Yes.
But it took 3 years for this cancer to spread to my brain. When it appeared on my skin, it was taken out and then radiated. I hope that it will not spread anywhere.
Right. And I'm wondering if you did end up feeling that, you know, you were having some mental drawbacks because of your radiation. Did you think that?
No, because I didn't feel anything at all, completely nothing until one day in my office, I stopped seeing my hand. No headaches, no anything. Here I am trying to work, and I cannot locate my hand. It disappeared.
Okay, so your vision was altered, yes.
Yes, my vision was altered before my mind was altered.
And what were the first experiences then, once you started experiencing true neurological deficit and symptoms, when did you start experiencing that you were actually mentally ill?
It was several months later. It was actually caused by combination of tumors and immunotherapy. So I was after this vision problem, and I had neurosurgery and radiation for it. We knew that I had tumors in my brain by that time. And we all knew that this treatment will not finish the story, because everybody knows melanoma is a very aggressive cancer. It will keep coming up even after the first tumor was taken out.
Yes,
so
yes.
I sought immunotherapy, and I was enrolled in the clinical trial. At the time, which was 2015 April, immunotherapy was not used for brain tumors. It was not approved by FDA for that. I got two drugs, immunotherapy drugs, and within a month and a half, I started experiencing mental changes.
I see. So really, it wasn't the melanoma that was giving you the mental changes. It was actually the drug itself.
It was both. It was both because
the progression of both. Okay.
To immunotherapy was so strong, no one predicted it. The doctors had very little experience in treating brain tumors, melanoma brain tumors, with immunotherapy. I was the first one or one of the first ones. They didn't know what to expect. And what happened in me, I responded to immunotherapy drugs with incredible strength. They inflamed my tumors. They were supposed to kill them quietly and slowly. But rather than doing this, they attacked like in a war zone. And my brain swelled and inflamed in response to immunotherapy. It was doing a good job because
right.
It was the job that I was supposed to do, but not to that extent.
So obviously, it was doing a good thing, but it was also giving you a major side effect.
Yes,
and that major side effect being mental illness.
When your brain is swollen,
yes,
it doesn't work properly. So especially my frontal cortex was incredibly swollen. So anything, any behavior that is regulated by frontal cortex was completely disrupted in me.
Can you explain the frontal cortex a little bit in layman terms? What types of symptoms you would see if you have disturbances in the frontal cortex?
Frontal cortex sits right behind your forehead, at the top of the head. And it is the most evolved part of the brain in us humans. So it controls all these higher cognitive functions, like emotions, empathy, insight, inhibition, memory also, especially short memory. And I lost it. I couldn't see that I'm ill because I didn't have a functional frontal cortex. I had no inhibition. I had no emotions other than anger. I had a lot of anger, very primitive emotion, which is not controlled by frontal cortex. I lost empathy. I didn't see that other people were worried about me. I was more like a monster than a human, loving human being that my family knew.
This must have been difficult for not just you, but everyone around you too.
It was even more difficult for my family because I was completely unaware of what I was doing and how ill I was. As I said, frontal cortex also regulates insight, controls insight. So the awareness that we know what's happening to us or to others. I didn't have it. I didn't know I was ill.
You know, millions of people.
Everybody
of people.
Around me changed.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Millions of people have mental illness here in America and all across the world. And it's a very, very difficult for the families and people around them to understand on how to work with that. I'm sure you've recognized that stigma around mental illness.
Yes, but only after I came out of it and could have some thoughts and perspective on it. I didn't know it at the time. And it is lack of insight, lack of awareness that you're ill is a characteristic feature of many mental illnesses, including schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. People don't recognize that they're ill. That's why they don't want to be cured. They don't see any reason why would they take medication that makes them not feel very well, because all these medications have some side effects. So why would they take them? They are not ill. Like, I didn't feel I was ill. As I said, oh, I thought my family is freaking out and they are very stressed out. They are acting weird. But I? No.
Right.
I was the only one normal.
That's a difficult situation, as you just mentioned, is that when people have mental illness, they don't realize that they are sick. And then they won't get the appropriate care or the drugs. I mean, for instance, schizophrenia, you've studied schizophrenia for years. This has been your big passion. That is a very difficult type of condition to work with because of the delusions, their quick changes of behaviors, unpredictability of who they are. There's so many different things. Most families, I'm sure, they really want them to be heavily drugged, heavily sedated, and possibly even put in institutions. And that can be also horrific for the person who has schizophrenia, because there could be ways to manage it much better, isn't there?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have drugs that cure any mental illness. We can alleviate some of the symptoms, like delusions or psychosis in particular. But as I said, all these drugs have side effects. They make them not feel well. So people don't want to take them. Patients don't want to take them. And who wants to be institutionalized? No one wants it to be not in their home with strangers. So it is not surprising that patients are fighting back, not realizing that they are ill and they may be a danger to themselves. I was a danger to myself. If my family didn't take me to the ER finally, I would have died because of the swelling in my brain. Patients with mental illness may not die of swelling in the brain because the causes of their mental illness are different than in my case, but they could die of many other reasons, including suicide, which is a very, very common side effect of this illness.
That's such
so
a great point.
Family or friends or anybody around who could take care of these of people with mental illness really should be welcome and are very important.
With all that you've gone through, from your diagnosing and treatment and recovery, what was really the hardest part for you?
The hardest part came after I came out of this period of losing it, realizing that I hurt people whom I love. I hurt them so much by being very dismissive, angry, aggressive, arrogant, everything that you can think of as bad traits of character. And I didn't mean it. I didn't see it. I just didn't understand it. So I shouldn't feel guilty, but I do feel guilty because I hurt my family, people around me, friends, my employers. It was bad. As for other things, I was really confused, a little confused, but not that much, about what is going on, that everybody changed. It is like living among the strangers, not among people that I knew, because they were behaving differently, I thought. I was the one, of course, who did behave strangely and differently.
Yeah, what can you tell our listeners? How what you learned from this experience and the difficulties, how did you overcome it? What did you end up doing afterwards on finding more peace within yourself and connecting, reconnecting with your people?
So I got the best evidence that I could have that mental illness is the disease of the brain. Of course, I knew it before because I was studying the brain to find out mechanisms underlying schizophrenia and other mental illnesses. But with my tumors causing very similar symptoms as in people with mental illnesses, I got this incredible evidence. Yes, it is the disease of the brain. And we don't know exactly what happens at the physical level, at the neurochemical level in the brains of people with schizophrenia, for instance, but we'll find one day. We're working hard on it. And I feel even more urgency to discover all these mechanisms.
Have you at all looked into natural therapies? Anything that, for instance, meditation?
In mental illness or in cancer? It is, well, that's why.
No, in mental illness, actually.
This is the best lesson I got, that it is a physical illness. And I want to spread this message that you cannot cure cancer with whatever other treatment, behavior treatment, for instance. You cannot cure mental illness with behavior treatment, although it may help. It may help for the patients to feel better, and everybody who feels better has more strength. But I do strongly believe that we need cures. We need real cures. We need drugs to treat it, which we don't have yet.
That's one of your passions now, is to discover that. Now, do you ever think about your symptoms ever coming back? For instance, with the immunotherapy, are you completely in remission of the melanoma in your brain?
I am called to be a patient in remission, but remission is not cure. It
Correct.
Is just a phase that I don't show these symptoms. And with aggressive cancer like melanoma, it is very possible that it will come back. I absolutely realize it. I don't have any symptoms now, but I'm afraid. Every day I'm terrified that it may come back, and I'm terrified that I will not even realize that it came back. Because I may again lose insight, and I will not listen to my family. So,
well, they will know for sure, I'm sure, quickly that you're not yourself again, and I'm sure that you will be able to get more therapies and cares to take care of that.
If I allow them to, because I was really fighting them. I didn't want to go to the hospital. I didn't want to be taken to the ER. I did end up there finally, but it was not very much in my plan to be treated. I thought they were having problem. I did not. So it may again repeat itself. I wouldn't listen to them, in other words. But we have a plan. I gave them permission to do everything in their power to take me to the hospital if it repeats. It's very important. It's also very important for patients with mental illness who act so strangely that they are a danger to themselves.
And then, of course, as you just said, create a plan. That's a really great advice. Create a plan with your loved ones, and maybe even write it out with your own handwriting so that you can see you wrote it, directing them to do these steps so that you can get help right away. The sooner you get help, I am sure that that's going to make everyone's, not just yourself, but everyone around them, hopeful that you're going to get better faster.
Absolutely. This is what I believe strongly, and this is what this experience taught me. I knew all this, but if it applied to myself, I completely dismissed it. That's why I wrote this book, to demystify and destigmatize mental illness. Know what it is, learn what it is, and don't be ashamed to either seek help or talk about it. Nobody should be ostracized because of illness, any illness.
Yes, yes. I don't think there's enough support state-wise, states, city-wise, support for mental illness people and the families, the caretakers of mental illness.
There isn't. Absolutely, you're right. And it is especially weird, given the fact that a large segment of our population, one in five people, is mentally ill. This costs our nation around $200 billion annually. It's a huge, huge cost for our nation. There should be more services. There should be more talking about it. There should be more awareness about mental illness. But there isn't, unfortunately.
I have some good friends.
Plans do not cover mental illness care.
That's a really good point you're making about the insurance. Absolutely. Because you're right. If they do, it's very minimal amount. And for whatever reason, it's an area that doctors do not go into. It's one of the last areas that they look at. They dig for everything else, you know, looking at the blood markers and doing all these lab tests. But mental illness, there is no such thing as a test, is there?
Yeah, that's true. There is no test. So it is very complex. It's a very complex disease that we don't understand. But many doctors still think it's kind of mysterious illness, not like cancer or any other physical illness, like a disease of heart or kidney. But it is a disease of the brain. So it should be treated like any other illness.
You know, you mentioned something earlier that you had inflammation. And often here on Wellness for Life, we have guests that talks about inflammation, inflammation that triggers autoimmune conditions, inflammation that triggers cancers, inflammation that is part of heart disease and diabetes. And this is just another inflammatory disease. Mental illness is considered an inflammatory disease. Would you say that?
We don't still have evidence for that, but there are certainly many scientists who hypothesize that in mental illness, there is inflammation in the brain. We don't see it on a regular basis. We have looked at it. Many labs have looked at it. But it may be subtle. It may be small. It may be at the level that we are not able to detect very easily yet. But it certainly may be the case.
Yes. You know, my last question.
Maybe the case that immunotherapy may cure it, as it cures or at least helps cancer.
Yes.
Many cancers.
We hope so. Mm-hmm. Before we're done, I just have one more question. I'd like to know, did you end up changing any of your research after you've had this big experience, life-changing experience? Have you changed your work in any way? The direction?
Well, I didn't change direction because I've been working exactly in the topic and the way I think now should be worked on. That is physicality of the brain, looking at changes at the molecular level, at the genetic level. I've been doing this for many years. But what changed is my understanding of how important it is, how urgent it is to find some kind of cure. What changed is my compassion for people with mental illness, my tolerance towards people who suffer from mental illness and actually from many other serious disorders. It is very difficult to cope with it.
Thank you so much. Where can we find more information about you, your work, and your book?
Would you like me to repeat it?
I think it's your full name, is it not? Barbara Lipska?
Barbara Lipska, yes. And the title of my book is The Neuroscientist Who Lost Her Mind, My Tale of Madness and Recovery.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Again, her website is Barbara Lipska, LIPSKA.com. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your book. You're doing wonderful, wonderful work for the people out there who are suffering from mental illness. Thank you so much. All right. Well, gosh, lots of great information today, and information today that we don't talk a lot about regarding our mental health, our mind. And if you've learned something new that you can, you know, you'd like to help with your people that you love, you please share this show with your friends and family. And you can also go to iTunes and give some feedback. The support is really appreciated. And then if you'd like to connect with me, go to Instagram, Facebook. You need more guidance? You can, you know, we want to dig deeper into your chronic health issues. I will do phone and Skype consultations with people all around the world. So go to my website, drsuzanne.com. And in fact, my website's brand new, new style, new colors, new everything. So please do go there, drsuzanne.com. And my contact information's there. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.